Hello and welcome to Gefet and Nedafa, Mi'el Shimroni, bringing to you together with Yeshivat Risha and Hadran, learning Iyun in your Daf Yomi Kyut. And today we're going to learn a very famous a sugya well known, well quoted, and many lessons have been learned from the sugya of the oven of Achnai. And what we'll be doing today is learning three lessons using Rashi and Tosfot. And as we will see, the lessons that Rashi and Tosfot choose to teach us are slightly different from the usual famous learnings that people learn from this sugya. So I hope bringing back your Pesach goods into the closets and taking out the chametz again. So if you're still in delay in Daf Yomi, you can hold on to this year and take another look at the Oven of Achnai. So let's begin. This story is so full of imagination and interest that it's been quoted all the time. I think many people learn this story at a very young age, even though if they don't know how to learn Gemara. And the usual lesson that people learn from the story, and one of the famous lessons, is one quote from the sugya, Lo bashamayim hi, not in heaven, claiming that Torah is not in heaven anymore, it's in the hands of man. But as we will see, there are other lessons to be learned from the sugya. And the first lesson that Rashi and Tosfot choose to teach us is a lesson that's important because people usually cut the sugya short and don't take enough note to where it is placed in the Gemara. And now that you're learning Daf Yomi, you can understand Rashi and Tosfot much more and see where the sugya is really aiming, what's the beginning and what's the end of the sugya, and what's the bottom line. So let's just take a quick review over the sugya. So, as we know, there was this oven, the oven of Achnai, was a specific oven that the machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer was whether or not it's considered a whole oven or was it already a broken oven. Why is that so important? If it's broken, even though it's whole, how do you make something that is whole and broken at the same time? It's a paradox. So, what you do with the oven is that you cut it. And then you fill in the gaps with different material, and therefore it is a whole oven, but it's also broken. If it's really broken, what is that? How is that helping us halachically? It's very meaningful because an oven is made out of clay. And clay is something that if it gets tuma, then you cannot take away the tuma, you have to break the oven. And the oven is something very expensive and very big. So ovens were really, really, really things that were problematic with Tumah v'Tahara because you were really afraid that they'll be becoming tummy and then it will be destroyed. So if we can create an oven that is working but it's already broken, this oven will never be mekabel Tumah and you can have it used by everybody, even people who you don't trust that they're keeping Tumah v'Tahara, Amei Haaretz. And Rabbi Eliezer says that this oven is actually broken, even though it's whole, and therefore it's always tahor. It will never be mekabel tuma, and that will be a great solving of a problem of tuma v'tahara if you're living with people who are not taking care of their tuma v'tahara. But Chachamim say no, this oven is considered whole, even though it's broken. It's not really broken, and it's whole, and that's why it will still be mekabel tuma, and that's the big machloket between them. And Chachamim say, we disagree with you, Rabbi Eliezer. This oven is tameh. And continues the story and says that in that day, Rabbi Eliezer tried to force his way through and gave them all the answers why he's right, why it's tahor, but they did not accept it. And then he looked for other proofs and he brought three proofs from other supernatural ways. One of them is to take a cherub tree and have it cut down and walk away. And then they say, Lo mekablim ra'ah min ha'charuv, the cherub tree does not prove anything in halacha. And another proof was to have the water turn back. And they're saying, En mekablim ra'ah me'amat ha'mayim, we don't care if the water goes back. And he had the whole Bet Midrash almost falling on top of them. And then the Bet Midrash stood like this. These are very, very famous parts of the story. And then the last proof of Rabbi Eliezer was, Im halacha kemoti, the heavens will prove. So we have a bat kol, a voice from heaven, saying that Rabbi Eliezer is always right. Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. And then Rabbi Yoshua stands and says, Lo b'shamayim hi, not in heaven. And usually that's where the story ends. That's how people finish the story. But now that you're learning Daf Yomi, you see that the story has a continuation. Continues this story and says, at that time, Rabbi Eliezer didn't know that Chachamim were not accepting his halacha. And Chachamim, not only did they not accept his halacha, they were also gozer niduy on him. They cursed him and they said nobody could learn Torah from him anymore and that he should be an outcast. And Rabbi Akiva, yeah, dresses up in black and goes to Rabbi Eliezer and lets him know that he's now considered an outcast. And then Rabbi Eliezer cries, and with each drop of a tear from his eye, the world destroys things. He cries, Shlish shlish v'shlish v'yash omrim af isha tafach. So, what happened here? The crying of Rabbi Eliezer is destroying goods in the world. And this crying is really where the story is aiming. Because if we continue to the end of the story, at the time that Rabbi Eliezer is crying, Rabban Gamliel is traveling on the ocean, and then a big wave comes and is about to kill him and destroy him. Says Rabban Gamliel, Kim dumeni she'en ze la bishvil Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, amad al raglav ve'amar ribono shel olam, galuy ve'yadua lefanecha shelo lichvodi asiti ve'lo lichvod bet abba asiti, ela lichvodcha shelo yirbu machlokot be'Yisrael. Nach haya mizapu. What do we see here? That even though Chachamim were right, Chachamim said it's not in heaven, and they turned Rabbi Eliezer into an outcast, but because Rabbi Eliezer is crying his tears, the world gets destroyed, and also almost Rabban Gamliel is killed. But at the end, Rabban Gamliel manages to keep away from being killed because he says to God, I didn't do it for myself, I did it for you. But that's not the end of the story. The story ends by Rabban Gamliel dying. How does Rabban Gamliel die? Because the sister of Rabban Gamliel was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, Ima Shalom, and she was afraid that if Rabbi Eliezer will be nofel apayim doing this, doing the tefillah of crying about what happened to him, then her brother will be killed. And every day she tried to make sure that Rabbi Eliezer will not do Nefilat HaPaim. And one day she missed. And when she comes home and she sees Rabbi Eliezer putting his head down and crying, she says, "You killed my brother." And at that time, the exact time, Adehachi, you hear a shofar blowing, saying that Rabban Gamliel is dead. And asks her, Rabbi Eliezer, how did you know that if I will pray and if I'll cry, then your brother will be killed? Says, Ima Shalom, kach mekublani mibet avi abba, kol hasha'arim minalim chutz mishare ona. That is the end of the story. And this end of the story is rarely quoted. And if we'll notice what Tosfot and Rashi say on the end of the story, they say that you have to go back to the sugya in its beginning. What is the sugya in its beginning? If we go back just one daf, one amud backwards, we see the maimra of Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shenechav bet hamikdash ninalu shaarei tefila, shenemar ki gam ki izak veyashavea satam tefilati, ve'af al pi shesharei tefila ninalu shaarei dmaot lo ninalu, shenemar shimat tefilati How is crying connected to what you've been learning in Baba Metzia up till now? So we were learning Dinei Ona'ah. Those were the dinim that you've been learning now for a while. And we were talking about Ona'ah in selling and buying, that you can't have somebody sell too much or in a higher price. So a lower price, you have to keep a certain price. So that's the dinim of Ona'ah. And suddenly the sugya says that we're not caring only about Ona'ah and buying and selling. We should also care about Ona'at Varim. Let's look at the beginning of the sugya. Amar Rav Chanina barei de Rav Idi, Mai dichtiv, Lo tonu ish et amito, im shitcha, בתורה ובמצוות אל תונאו, אמר רב, לעולם יהיה אדם זהיר בהונאת אשתו, שמתוך שדמעתה מצויה הונאתה קרובה, and that's what Rabbi Eliezer says, that from the day the temple was destroyed, מיום שנחרב את המקדש, ננעלו שערי תפילה, אבל שערי דמעה לא ננעלו. And continues of Chistein says, כל השערים ננעלים חוץ משערי הונאה. שנאמר, הנה אדוני ניצב על חומת תנ"ך ובידו אנך, אמר רבי אלעזר, הכל נפרעים בידי שליח חוץ מהונאה, שנאמר, ובידו אנך. And then, the story of the oven of Achnai takes place. So, if we look at Rashi ותוספות, we see that Rashi and Tosfot say, this is the main point of the story. The reason that we have this dramatic story is not to teach us that it's not in heaven. The real teaching of the story and the first and main teaching of the story is that always, if somebody is hurt and he cries, that is something that is very, very hurtful and very dangerous, and we should avoid that in every price. Rashi says, כל השערים ננעלים חוץ משערי הונאה, says Rashi, לפי שצר הלוי וקרוב להוריד דמעות. Crying, if you make somebody cry, that is a big sin. Says Tosfot, חוץ משערי הונאה, לפי שצר הלוי וקרוב להוריד דמעות, משמע משום דנפקא לאל מקרא דתהילים דשערי דמעה לא ננעלו. So Tosfot says, where does Rashi take this reading that crying is so important? Because of what we learned in the daf previously. That's the context of the story of Tanuro Shel Achnai. So the first learning from Tanuro Shel Achnai is not to learn that it's not in heaven, but a different lesson should be learned, that crying on the Onaat Dvarim is something very, 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 very dangerous. And this story of the Oven of Achnai is a story of Chachamim who caused pain in another chacham with the words, and even though the pain was rightly inflicted because Rabbi Eliezer was going against chachamim, still a very heavy price was paid that Rabban Gamliel died because of the crying of Rabbi Eliezer. So the first lesson from the Oven of Achnai is to know that even if you're right and even if you're righteous, if you cause the other party to cry because of your words, that price will be very heavy for the world and for yourself. So that's the first and most important lesson from Tanuro Shel Achnai, because that is the context where the Oven of Achnai is brought into the Gemara. And you that are learning Daf Yomi can appreciate this context, and I really hope that next time you will teach this story, you will make sure to first bring it in its context to understand what Chachamim did to Rabbi Eliezer was not an easy thing and was actually, in many ways, a sin that they paid a heavy price for. So that's the first lesson we learned from Tanuro Shel Achnai according to Rashi and Tosfot. The second lesson is what everybody quotes, not in heaven. We do not listen to a bat kol because the Torah is not in heaven. Is that, in fact, the right lesson to learn from this story? Let's look at what Rashi and Tosfot do here. So Tosfot is based on a very big question that we should all be asking. We've already learned Eruvim and Yevamot, and a very, very famous other sugya actually shows us that we are pasking according to a voice in heaven. What is that sugya? The sugya in the Ravin, Daf Yud Gimel, Amar Rav Abba, אמר שמואל, שלוש שנים נחלקו בית שמאי ובית הלל, הללו אומרים הלכה כמותנו, והללו אומרים הלכה כמותנו, יצא בת קול ואמרה, אלו ואלו דברי אלוקים חיינן בהלכה כבית הלל. This is a very very famous סוגיה in Eruvin, that בית שמאי and בית הלל are חולקים in many מחלוקות during the Shas. But once a voice from heaven came down and said, they're both right, but we're pasking halacha according to Bet Hillel. And the question for us is, are we actually pasking halacha according to Bet Hillel? And the truth is, yes. That's what the sugya continues and says. וכי מאחר שאלו ואלו דברי אלוקים חיים, מפני מה זכו בית הלל לקבוע הלכה כמותן? מפני שנוחים ועלובים היו בשונים דבריהם ודברי בית שמי, ולא עוד אלא שמקדימים דברי בית שמי לדבריהם. So here we have a sugya that says that we are pasking according to a voice from heaven. So This is a very big stira between two very famous sugiyot that we like to quote all the time. The sugiyah of Tanur Rosh Hashanah 9, Daf Yutet and Baba and Nuntet and Baba Metzia says, not in heaven, we're not paskin according to Bar Kol. But the sugiyah in Eruvin Daf Yud Gimel says, we are paskin according to Bar Kol because Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. But halacha ki bet Hillel, how do we know that? Because a voice from heaven came down and said so. So, what are we supposed to learn here? From Eruvin? Or from Tanur Rosh Hashanah? Is it indeed true that we can take the story Tanur Rosh Hashanah, the oven of Achnai, and prove from it that the Torah is not in heaven? So this is a question that the Tosfot has been bothered by, and Tosfot is also based on another sugya, not only the sugya in Eruvin Yud Gimel, but also a sugya in Yevamot Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. So let's look at that sugya first and see what's happening there. That sugya is quoting the sugya in Eruvin, and there's a very big and famous and dangerous machloket between Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai there, whether or not they're allowing to marry certain women. We'll not get into that sugya if you want. There's a gefa that we did about the sugya in Yevamot when we learned that sugya. And here asks the Gemara, what happened after the Bat Kol came down from heaven and said that you should do halacha according to Bet Hillel? Did Bet Shammai continue to go according to their halacha, or did they listen to the voice from heaven and stop doing what they thought was right? So says the Gemara in Yevamot like this: Mi savart asu Bet Shammai kedivrem, lo asu Bet Shammai kedivrem, Rabbi Yochanan amar asu veasu. So we see that there is a machloket here between the Amoraim, Chachamim, and Rabbi Yochanan, and also the sugya says that it's a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar lo asu bet shamay kedivrem, uShmuel amar asu veasu. So Amoraim are asking, and there's a machloket whether or not Bet Shammai listened to the Bat Kol and didn't do what they thought was right, or did they continue doing what was right? Ask the sugya, Eimat. When did the Chachamim do this machloket? When are they not sure if Bet Shammai did as they were supposed to or not? Ilei ma kodem bat kol, ma itama deman deamar lo asu, vela leachar bat kol, ma itama deman deamar asu. Ask the sugya, of course, Bet Shammai, before the voice from heaven came down, did what they thought was right, because there was no voice from heaven. So why would there be a machloket there? And if it's after the voice came down from heaven, we listen to the voice from heaven. So how could it be that Bet Shammai went against the voice from heaven? Continues the sugya and says, I'll explain. I can explain both scenarios, that maybe there's a machloket what Bet Shammai did before the voice from heaven came down, or maybe the machloket is after the voice from heaven came down. Leman de'amar lo asu, deha bet hilel ruba, uman de'amar asu, ki lazinan bat aruba hecha dechi hadad einimu, hacha bet shamay mechada deitfei. Says the sugya, before the voice from heaven came down, you can still see that there were two options to decide whether or not bet shamay actually practically did what they thought was right, or was it only a theoretical dispute? How could that be? Because, says the sugya, we think that Bet Hillel were always more than Bet Shammai. And as we know, halacha is that if you have rabim and mi'ut, you're going according to the rabim. So that's why, even though Bet Shammai thought that Bet Hillel were wrong, of course they went according to Bet Hillel because they were more than they were. So how can the other side of the Amorim think that Bet Shammai did what they thought, even if they were less? Explains the sugya, because Bet Shammai were not 100% sure whether this law of going according to the rabbim is also relevant when the miut are smarter than the rabbim. Bet Shammai were considered smarter than Bet Hillel, so if somebody is smarter than someone else, even if there are a lot of people, should they go according to the other people, or should they go according to their wisdom? So we see that Bet Shammai were not sure what the law was, and they were actually thinking that if they're smarter, they should still go according to their law. And that's why you had to have the voice from heaven to come down and say to them, listen, Even though you're smarter, you have to go according to Bet Hillel. So that's the first reading of the Sugya. Continues the Sugya and says, V'yibayit eima leachar bat kol, man de'amar lo asu, de'anafka bat kol. Uman de'amar asu, Rabbi Yoshua hi, de'amar en mashgichin bevat kol. Says the Sugya, the same machloket, we can explain it after the voice from heaven came down. Maybe when the voice from heaven came down, Bet Shammai listened to it and stopped doing the halacha according to themselves because of the voice from heaven. But maybe they thought, like Rabbi Yoshua in our sugya, that you do not listen to a voice from heaven. So here we see that our sugya, the voice from heaven, saying that you don't listen to a voice from heaven, that's actually the da'ah of Beit Shammai. And when we're passing halacha, that halacha is like Bet Hillel, we're passing against the rule of not listening to a voice from heaven. So we're not really passing halacha according to the story, the Oven of Achna. We're actually passing halacha according to the Sugya in Eruvin. And after we saw these two sugyot, let's look at what Rashi and Tosfot say and see that Tosfot on our Sugya relates to all these sugyot and says that you can't take our sugya and learn halacha from it that you don't listen to a voice in heaven. Let's see what Tosfot says. Lo b'shamayim hi, not in heaven. V'ha de'amar b'perek kama de'evamot. De'alacha kebet hilel mishum de'yatza bat kol shanei hacha sheba lachlok al divrei Torah. Dichtiv acher rabim la'atot. Aval hatama adrabah, bet hilel ruba. Ilav dehav mesap kalan yazina bataruba mishum de bet shamay havu charifet fei. Tosfos first answer: when do we listen to a bat kol? Says Tosfos, usually we don't listen to a bat kol. We listen to the rabbi, and in this story, chachamim were more than Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why we don't listen to a bat kol because it's written in the Torah that you have to go according to the rabbim, but when we went to Eruvin, there we did listen to a bat kol because there the bat kol was saying what was written in the Torah. There, Beit Shammai weren't sure whether or not we'll go according to wisdom or according to the rabbim. And the bat kol came down and said, "There, you're going according to the rabbim." We listen to a bat kol. So when do we listen to a bat kol and when we don't? When the bat kol goes against a rule in the Torah, we don't listen to it. But when you have a suffix regarding a rule in the Torah, you do listen to a bat kol because the bat kol teaches you what to do when you're not sure. When you are sure what halacha is, bat kol has no meaning. But when you yourself are in a suffix, bat kol has a lot of meaning. So according to the terutz, the first terutz of the Tosfot, do we not listen to a bat kol? No, bat kol is very helpful. Bat kol can help a person when he's unsure about a rule in the Torah. When you're sure about a rule of the Torah, of course you don't listen to what's in heaven. But when you're unsure, heaven can help. So that's the first terutz of the Tosfot. So no longer can we learn from Tanuro Shel Achnai that we don't listen to heaven. We dafka listen to heaven when we're not sure. Let's continue because Tosfot has another terutz. Ve'od, dekan lo yatza bat kol ela mishum kvodo de Rabbi Eliezer she'amar min ha'shamayim yochichu. The second terutz is more radical. Says the Tosfot, actually, we do listen to voices from heaven. But if the voices from heaven are not serious, then we don't listen to them. This voice from heaven was not a serious voice from heaven. From the story, it is very clear that it was coming down only to honor Rabbi Eliezer. It wasn't really a bat kol who came to tell us what to do. It was a bat kol who was there to protect the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. So when voices from heaven are protecting honor and they're only there to be nice, then we don't listen to them. But when they're there to be pasking, we do listen to them. So going back to the two terutzim of Tosfot, do we not listen to voices from heaven? No, not at all. We listen to voices in heaven. We just have to listen well whether or not the voices are serious or not. And according to Tosfot, the sugya in Eruvin is actually stronger than the sugya here because obviously we do listen. We just need to understand when do we listen and when we don't. Continues the Tosfot and says, Rabbi Yoshua in our sugya was cholek on all of that. Yehoshua in our sugya really does think that you never listen to voices in heaven, but his thoughts and his statement was not accepted halachically. The statement that was accepted is that we do listen to Bnot Kol, like a Nevamot and an Uvarim. And the Tosfos repeats that also in the Gemara and Nevamot, and continues and says, you should understand that Rabbi Yehoshua in our sugya is really that Yachid. He indeed thinks that you don't listen to Bnot Kol ever and ever. How do we know that? Because in our sugya, Rabbi Yehoshua proves himself from the fact that already in Sinai, everything was given to us. That's his proof. So he's really saying something very radical, that you never listen to voices from heaven. That's his personal radical view. And Rabbi Yirmiyah agrees with him here in this sugya. But the Chachamim of the Shas disagree with Rabbi Yehoshua and think that we do indeed listen to voices from heaven under two in two ways. One is that when we're sure that the voice in heaven is really being pasking and not only doing something which is for somebody's honor. And also, the voice in heaven can only help us reach conclusions when we're not sure what's written in the Torah. When something is clear in the Torah, of course we do not listen to something from heaven, even if it's a voice from heaven. So we see that we have here two lessons from Tosfot, which are not the classic lessons in Tanuro Shel Achnai. The first lesson is that even if you're right, if you're hurting somebody's feeling and he cries, that will be very, very, very problematic, a big sin and a big warning not to do such a thing and to pay a very heavy price. That was the first lesson. The second lesson was that even though it's written here that we don't listen to voices in heaven, that is only a da'at yachid of Rabbi Yehoshua. But Chachamim think that we do listen to voices from heaven in certain circumstances. And what is the third lesson that Tosfot chooses to teach us in Tanuro Shel Achnai? And I think this is not as central, but still very meaningful and interesting. Tosfot, at the part of the sugya that describes God, has an interesting statement. So let's just repeat that part of the sugya. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, we don't listen to voices in heaven because we already got the Torah from Sinai, and in Sinai it was written, Achrei Rabbim Le'atot, we listen to the Rabbim, and that's why we don't listen to the voice in heaven. Ashkechei Rav Natan Le'eliyahu, Rav Natan meets Eliyahu and asks him, what did God do at that time? Eliyahu describes God as smiling and saying, my children have beat me. They won. That is also a very famous quote from the sugya. But let's see what Tosfot says about God smiling and saying that he was defeated by his children. Says Tosfot, Ve'amar beresh avodah zarah, miyom shecharav bet hamikdash, en tzchok lifnei hakadosh baruch hu. The Tosfot here is asking a question. In the sugya and avodah zarah, it says that God doesn't laugh anymore ever since Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So how come our sugya says that God is smiling? God is not supposed to smile after the Churban of Beit HaMikdash. Says the Tosfot, Hainu kavua, v'hacha milta d'bdichuta be'alma hu de'amar. Says Tosfot, indeed, God does not laugh anymore. But making jokes? God makes jokes. He says, milta d'bdichuta be'alma. So when God here is smiling and saying that his children have won, that is really a joking smile. So we see that even after the Churban HaBayit, there is still Jewish humor that God is doing and smiling lightly. This is not really laughter and happiness, but it is joking. So that is the third lesson that Tosfot taught us from the sugya. So let's sum up the three lessons. The first lesson, Gate of Hona'ah and gates of tears never close. That is the main lesson. Even when an argument is fierce and the stakes are high, and you might be very right and very righteous, still, Sha'arei Hona'ah and Sha'arei Dim'ah lo nin'alu, and there is a heavy price for being mitzar somebody. Second lesson, a bat kol can determine halach. It is true that Rabbi Yehoshua said this here, but he's da miut. In other sugyot, we see that we do listen to Bnot Kol under certain circumstances. And the third lesson, even in a time of mourning, joking is possible. And I think that lesson for us is very important because this year we are definitely in a time of mourning, but still the joking and the humor, we're going in the same way of God, is still allowed and still possible, even when you're in deep sadness and mourning after very hard things have happened. So these are the three lessons we learned today from Tanuro Shel Achnai, using the Tosfot to guide us through this famous sugya. So I hope you found the Tosfot meaningful, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll be meeting again next week in Sfirat HaOmer to continue learning together a bit of Iyun in your Bkiut Daf Yomi. Take care and have a safe and happy and healthy summer.